Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Hallelujah. If any of you don't know what's going on with that, we got good news to share with you. You know that gospel reading from John chapter 3? It kind of captures for us a little bit where we're going with what began back in Genesis chapter 12 when God called Abraham. If you've been journeying with brothers and sisters in Christ here at this congregation at the cross of Christ in this epic of Eden, then you've been journeying with them, and you know that there's a God is preparing a place and a people and a presence. And a lot of that gets done here in this call of Abraham and the person of Abraham. And this is going to take a bit of journeying for us to grab this. But I look forward to the opportunity. Let's start with prayer. Father, we come to your word today. We ask that you'd guide our conversation. And may it be a conversation that our minds and our hearts are engaged with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your word that directs our hearts to you, and that you've entered into covenant with a people of God, a people who have been separated from you because of sin, and yet you take the first step, you initiate, and you remind us again and again and again of your grace, of your love, of your rich forgiveness, and your call on each and all of our lives. Help us, Holy Spirit, to tune in and to receive what you have to teach us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I say, if you've been journeying with the congregation in small group studies, if not, you can go back on the congregation's website and you can watch the videos as the instructor teaches on these topics, this epic of Eden. And how this arc of salvation history, how God has been at work and continues to be at work, and that really comes very much into focus, if you will, in the person and God's intention through and with Abraham. He first is called, as you know, Abram in chapter 12, just kind of randomly, and yet it's not random because he's a descendant of Shem, the son of Noah. So sometime later, he is called, and I don't know about you, do you ever get calls on the phone? And you think, I don't know, I get calls on the landline, and I just know, the only reason I have a landline is because it's more expensive to not have a landline. But if I get a call on the landline, I don't pick it up. Because they're telling me what to do or what I've done wrong or if you don't act now. But if I get a call on my phone, I look at it. If I don't recognize the name, well, I don't get a name on that. I get a number. I look at the area code first. I'm going to let it go to voicemail. I wonder if Abraham let it go to voicemail. The Lord, it says in chapter 12, the Lord had said to Abram, this is after the Tower of Babel and so on, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. And then he lays out for Abraham his promise to him. He's got seven things. He says, I will, that is, God says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you a great name, and you will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Why? Because what I am doing through you. Now, who's the topic? God is the topic. He's the actor, right? All the verbs are related to God. If we learn nothing else from what God is doing in Abraham's life and in our lives, can we remember that? That at best we are passive players At worst, Scripture calls us enemies of God. We fight against His will and His purposes. So Abram is walking around, minding his own business, in the land of Ur, and God says, Abram, over here. And he goes. So Abram left, as the Lord had said, had told him, and Lot went with him as his nephew. Abram was 75 years old. Would you write that down? 75 years old when God calls him to leave his home country, to leave his father's house, and to take a walk. And it was more than a mile, brother. It was more than 3 miles. It was a walk. He went down to Egypt from where he was. That's a day. 75. Bunch of stuff happens. You get to chapter 15. So that was in chapter 12, chapter 15. And remember, a lot of stuff has happened. I was here a few weeks ago and preaching about redemption. Okay, that happens in between there where he goes, Abram goes and rescues Lot. He redeems him. He delivers him, right? Chapter 15, I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a day. And I'm wondering if Abram is maybe just wondering a little bit. Okay, so Sarah, I'm 75. She's 67 or so. We don't have any children yet. But God intervenes again and he says, Abram, do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I am childless? I know you want to keep a promise to me that I'm going to be the father of a great nation, I'm going to be blessed, and all the nations are going to be blessed because of me. I get that, you know. But I don't have a son. I don't have an heir. May Eliezer of Damascus, a servant that was born in my household, may he be my heir. God says, no. Someone of your own, from your own loins. You're going to be the father. The word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said, so shall your offspring be. And then it says this interesting line. This is a narrator's aside. Abraham believed God, and it was what? Credited to him as righteousness. That gets picked up later. Are you catching all the threads here? Abram believed God as credited to him as righteousness. He also said, God also said, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur, the Chaldeans, to give you this land as a possession. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain this possession? Okay, I believe you, but how will I know? And then you have the episode where God cuts a covenant. And that's where we get the word covenant, is to cut a covenant. And that is, there's some bloodshed, friends. Okay? This isn't a, you know, poke your finger and, you know, no. This is, so the Lord said, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old. Not just some random goat, not just some random heifer. 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. So Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, arranging the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down to the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. So I want you to picture, there's a mound of sand over here. There's a mound of sand over here. He cuts these animals in half. Anyone been to the butcher recently? Have you ever butchered an animal? Some of you are maybe deer hunters. Okay, I don't know. I grew up on a farm, man. We butchered. That's why you had animals, so you could eat them. You know, so, but he cut them in half and laid half of it here and half of it here, half it here, half of here, half here. So the heifer, the goat, the lamb, doves, he just kind of threw one on each side. So what happens then if you've got this slope and the animals are cut in half? What happens to the blood? It seeps down and it's in the sand. Okay? As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep. And a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be as strangers in a country," etc., etc., etc. "In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here." Then, as the sun was setting and darkness had fallen, a smoking pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. What's here? Mixed with sand and grit and... Can you picture this? Can you smell this a little bit? Who does not walk in the middle? Does not walk. If this is a covenant between a king and a slave, who walks in here saying basically, "Hey, if I break this covenant, may it be to me as it is to these animals." But who walks through here? God walks through here. Abraham doesn't walk through here. God walks through, and he puts his feet in the sandy blood and gets it stuck all over on his robes. I mean, if you can picture God as having robes. And what's God saying? "Abraham, if I break this covenant, if you break this covenant, no matter who breaks this covenant, I'll take the hit. May it be to me if this doesn't come true for you." Can you see why that finds its fulfillment in the cross of Jesus Christ? God didn't break the covenant. Who did? Abraham and all his descendants, you and me, we've all broken covenant with God. But God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against him. He made him, Jesus, the Son of God, who knew no sin, the perfect Lamb of God, who knew no sin, to become sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God was in Christ. He was fulfilling his promise. No matter what happens, Abram, I'm going to keep these promises to you. This is my covenant to you. So a little time passes. Sarah still doesn't have a child. She says, "You know, I know it's God's will that you're going to be a father of a great nation. I tell you what, I can't seem to have any children. Let's take matters into our own hands. We're going to do God's will our way." How are we doing? Have you ever done that? You know exactly what God's will is. I mean, at least as far as we can, right? Based on, but we're going to do it. It's like old Blue Eyes, right? "I did it my way." Did I tell you that story about a funeral I had? I had a funeral several years ago. And the family wanted the funeral at the funeral home. And so I said, "Okay, but let's have some Christian witness, you know." So the music in the background is going to be like Amazing Grace, you know. It was going to be Jesus Loves Me, whatever it's going to be, right? Our Beautiful Savior, all those wonderful hymns and so on. And I get there, and the family had changed the tape. And so the sermon hymn song was "I Did It My Way," Well, I had this great sermon planned. And I scrapped the whole thing and I said, you know, there's a way which seems right to a man, but it ends in destruction. I share that we need to guard ourselves. We need to ask God to guard us from wanting to do His will our way. And that's what happens with Hagar and the Egyptian servant gal and the birth of Ishmael. Now, chapter 17. So how old was Abraham when he was first called? 75. Okay, that's in chapter 12. Chapter 17 starts out this way. When Abraham was 99, my mother died a little over a year ago as she was 99. I'm trying to picture that in my mind because Sarah is how old? She's like 90. And she, Abraham was 99 years old when God appeared to him. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will be greatly increased and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down. You think so? He does that another time. God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer are you called Abram, exalted father, or big daddy, but you will be called daddy of many, Abraham. And Sarah is your princess. I'll make you fruitful. Verse 17. God said to Abram, as verse 15, God said to Sarah, your wife will be called Sarah. We'll bless her, and she will be a mother of many nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Verse 17, Abraham fell face down again. It doesn't say again. I'm just adding that, okay? So he's fallen on his face twice now, and he laughed. So guess what his son's name is going to be? Isaac, which means he laughed. Yes, but so Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. I have a son, it's just not by Sarah. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. He laughed. I will establish my covenant with you. Fast forward again, probably that same year, later on. Chapter 18, three visitors. Remember that story? Three visitors come and Abraham, okay, a year from now, you're going to have a child. I'm going to come back here. And this time, Abraham doesn't laugh. Who laughs this time? Sarah. My master is like really old. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then we get to the text that you started with, chapter 21. Is anyone exhausted yet? We live in a sitcom-driven world. You can read these chapters in about 15 minutes or less. Years go by. Started at 75, child's born when you're 100. Whew. Think about Sarah. So, chapter 21, Isaac is born. My point is this, is that all of this could not happen if God were not acting. I don't know about your life, but my life happens and I kind of expect God to be on my schedule. And when He's not, then I take His will and try to do it my way. Anyone else like that? I don't mind confessing this stuff to you because you're just like me. We like to play God. Even when we know what God's will might be based on the scriptures, we want to do it our way. Because we're impatient. But God is not slow as some count slowness, writes Paul. But he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but that all would come to repentance. God wants to work, and he continues to work. And then as a foreshadow of what would happen, as a picture of what was yet going to come about the Son of Promise, chapter 22. I told my brother here, if I don't get to this part, you make sure you ask me. Okay. You were ready. Okay. Sometime later, must have been a few years. By the way, Abraham dies when he's 175. So from the time of his calling, chapter 12, to the time he dies, ...100 years. Now, he outlived Sarah. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, father of many people. Hey, father of many people. Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son. What about... What's this only stuff? What about Ishmael? Take your son, your only son, Isaac. Hey, father of many, take your son, your only son. By the way, he laughed, whom you love. And go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. I'm thinking, why did Abram pick up the phone that time? It must have been vibrating, you know. Is this a butt dial? Is he about to fall on his face again to the ground? The next morning, Abraham gets up, saddles his donkey, loads it up with wood, and says, let's go, boys. And he takes his son, Isaac. His son, Isaac, we don't know how old he is. Probably, you know, like, he's able to talk with dad. He's able to carry the wood for his dad. And it says in the text, Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and placed it on his son, Isaac. I mean, he's even going to carry his own wood. I see a picture. But why? What about? Because it's the Son of Promise. Paul explains that in Romans chapter 4. He said there's a son of the law, of the flesh, that's Ishmael. But there's also the son of the promise. And the promise is reminding Abraham, reminding you and me that God is a God who honors faith, and God is a God who calls us to trust him for his promises. That's not what we do. It's what God does and what he has done and what he continues to do to bring all people back to himself through faith in Jesus Christ, the ultimate son who carries his own wood to take on the cross and to bleed out and pay the price for our rebellion, our disobedience, our breaking covenant with him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Abraham took the wood burnt offering. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said, Dad? Yes, my son. Abraham replied, the fire, the wood are here, Isaac said. He laughed. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Just asking. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. The two of them went off together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Can you picture all this? Isn't that just a gruesome picture? If you were looking at it from Isaac's perspective, Abraham's perspective, did Sarah know this was going on? But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, son of many people, father of many nations." "Here I am," he replied. "I'm going to pick this one up. I want to pick this phone up. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And the rest of the story, you know. The ram's in the thicket. Isaac is set free. I'm just wondering how that conversation was coming down the mountain. "Hey, Mom, did you know what Dad was going to do?" He loves and trusts God more than he loves me. I find that startling. Now, that's not in Scripture. That's just my projection on that. But that had to be like crazy stuff for a kid named Laughter. So as you wait for God to do what He has promised to do for you and in you and through you as an individual, as a family, as a people of God, as those gathered in faith here at this congregation, in this community, in this state, in this time, will you join me in taking a breath? God is one who can be trusted. He's at work. He's shown that most especially in the ultimate promised one,
Jesus Christ.
The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who as he hung on the cross said, "It is finished. It's done. Victory's won." As he rose from the dead, gives us life and hope in his name. That which began then, fulfilled in Christ, fulfilled completely when he returns. And with confidence and joy and victory, we say, "Christ is risen."
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Please stand as we confess our Christian